Okay, this is Winfrey. Welcome to our Monday night conference call, simulcast on DBS Radio. And welcome to everybody that's tuning in. When you hear those beeps, those are people coming into the conference line. Hey, everyone on the conference line, why don't you say hello to everyone out on DBS Radio Internet? You ready? One, two, three.
Hello, BBS.
There we go. And Terry's not here yet. Hopefully, Terry will be on. Oh, you're here?
Here. Yes.
Oh, good. So nice to hear you. Terry, do you think Gina was a dolphin in another lifetime?
Gina?
Huh?
Gina? Are you talking? You talking about Gina?
You know Gina. Gina comes on the line a lot in San Diego, and she's just so bubbly and playful, and she loves dolphins.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
She has dolphin qualities. And when we send the light to dolphins on Sundays, do you get a special tingle through you?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Because I know it's going to them. I know it's going to them, and I know how thankful they are that we think of them.
Uh-huh. Now, if anyone's listening on BBS Radio, and you're listening for the first time, I want you all to know that we're all crazy.
And I'm crazy for dolphins, too.
So, if you're one of those people that is very serious and taking the world seriously, you may love us because we may help you be crazy, or you may think you got off on the wrong floor of the elevator, which is okay. But hang in because there's method to the madness, and every Monday we do this call and kind of got a fairly flexible format, but it's really... It takes in the idea that many people have heard, but not so many people put into action. And that is that behind all of our lives, there's a oneness. And even though we're all separate and individuated, each of us has our own track, our own destiny, if you go deep enough inside yourself, you find that everyone in your life is actually part of you. And this is a call where we attain to have that experience just during the moment of the call. And it doesn't mean losing yourself. It doesn't mean getting caught up in a huge glom. It means experiencing the actual energy of connection. And we're not only just connecting with each other, but we're also connecting with these energies in other realms, which is even more special. We're lucky enough to have them able to speak to us. And so it's an energy that you can connect with that has a voice attached to it. And that's very, very unusual in this realm. And if it sounds crazy to you, then just go along and be crazy and see what happens. Because it's been my experience over time that many people who check into these calls shift their life. Something changes. Sometimes some pattern goes away. Sometimes they have a healing. Sometimes who knows what can happen. And... in fact, the title of my talk, it's kind of my talk with them, they're going to talk too, is How to Change Your Destiny. And I think no matter who we are and where we are, we all have something we wished we could do or wish we could change or wish we could move into. And we're stuck, all of us, including me. There's areas where I feel stuck. And yet, is it possible to change and open up to higher possibilities. I say yes. I know I'm far less stuck now than I was 10 years ago. And I'm doing things now that I don't even believe that I can do. I don't even believe anyone could do it. And yet here I am doing it. And so I've proven to myself that it's possible to change what I thought was the limits of my own potentials some years ago. And I've watched carefully how I've done that. And you may not do what I do, but you can do something you can do. There's something that everyone on this line can do that will make their life more meaningful, more contributory to others, more successful financially, that you're not good. And so on this particular call, we're going to be exploring how to do that. And it's not only going to be me exploring, because I'm just a human, we're going to have help from sources in other realms that are, not only are they wiser than us, but they actually can energetically help and contribute. And before I go into just, you know what? I said all those great things and I didn't record them. Hang on a second. Let me start my tape recorder.
Please enter your subscriber PIN followed by the pound sign. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, so this is August 31st, 2009, and we're doing our Monday night conference call, which is a group consciousness interaction. And my name is Winfrey, and Terry is going to be working with me, and I'm in Sedona, and she is in Los Angeles, and we have a number of people on a conference line, and more people listening on BBS Radio. So we have Francis, Dan, Gary, and Gina. Anyone else? And Francis.
Hello.
Francis, who else did you check in?
Just Marilyn, but I know there's many others.
Okay, Marilyn.
Vicki.
Now, wait a second. Let's see. Vicki in Calabasas?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm getting good. And did I hear Ellen? No? Anyone else?
Yes, I'm here.
Is that Ellen?
Yes.
I thought I could tell that was you. And who else is on the line?
Al Gainesville.
Hey, Al.
Hey, Al.
Hi, Wynn.
Thank you for being here. And who else? Okay. Everyone else in the background.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
You know, one Monday, I'm going to let you guys do the show because there's a lot of far-out people that check into this line. And sometimes I say, geez, all these people are listening to me. And although I have this unusual experience of having these talks with interdimensional consciousness, sometimes it looks to me, I don't know if you ever have this experience, but everyone seems more together than me. And I say, how did I get this job? You ever feel that way, Terry? Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Don't go away, Terry. Where are you? Unmute yourself. Okay.
There are 13 callers on the call.
I hope she comes back. Terry, are you there? For those of you who are...
Hello?
I hear you now. Where'd you go?
I guess you muted me.
Well, I muted everybody. Did Seth call you? Are you on the... Did you call in?
I called in.
Oh, okay. I thought Seth had called you, and you were tied in through CBS. Okay.
No.
When I muted everybody, you have to unmute to be on the line. So...
Hey.
Were you following along what I was saying?
Yes.
Did you ever wonder, like, why you're doing this and say, how did they pick you? Or how did you get stuck in this job?
Well, it's a job that nobody else is doing. And it's desperately needed.
I can tell you guys, if it wasn't for Terry, we wouldn't be doing this tonight. I might not even be alive. Terry had the vision as this was happening. If you can imagine yourself being me for a moment, and you're with your friend, and she suddenly shakes you and says, "Those guys want to talk to you again." And you're suddenly having conversations with this voice that is able to predict newspaper headlines and save your sister's life. And you're wondering who they are. And then they say they're the Council of Elohim. And the Elohim, when I Googled it, was the word for God in the Old Testament and the creator of this realm. And I didn't believe it. Would you believe it? I mean, you know, your friend is saying, here we go again, and suddenly this voice is talking to you, and it's pretty casual. It's not like, if I was going to mock this up, you would think there's going to be drums and whistles and there'd be a few angels coming and saying, "They're coming, get ready." Didn't happen that way. and it probably took me 2 years even begin to think that they were real, or that it was real, and you know, having an open door to ask questions about anything, and having them giving respectful answers, and looking at the answers and saying, now if it's not them, how could somebody make up those answers? And if you haven't read Questions and Answers for the Elohim, I highly suggest it. You can get it at ElohimQ&A.com. Because at a certain point in the dialogues, because many of the questions were not things that would be public. It would be, how do we get rid of Daphne's negative attacks? How do we do this? How do we do that? And I finally got to the point where I said, I think they are who they say they are. And if they are, why don't I better get on record some of the kinds of questions that everybody would want to know the answers to, like who are they? How do they work with us? How does prayer work? What happens when you die? How do you connect with them? And Questions and Answers with Elohim, the second part of it is all those kinds of questions and their answering. And Terry, at what point, you know, when we first started doing this and Terry started doing it, she never would never ever want to do anything publicly. In fact, she didn't even want to do it with anyone else because she said, "What if I make a mistake? What if I say something wrong? What if they're not who they say they are?" So there is a lot of responsibility in doing this in a public way, a lot, because you can't do it with any kind of, how can I say it, ego or self-aggrandizement, because what I've learned is that it screws it up, and that's what will attract a negative force. So we've had to get into understanding how to create an energy that is an energy of oneness, that they can come in on that energy and be one with us. Not, in fact, in one of the questions I asked. It's in questions and answers with the Elohim. I asked them, I said, do you really like it when people worship you? And they said, no. They said, really, we just want to be your friends. And it's a matter of tuning into our frequency. So one of the things that took me a while to figure out was that when we do these public talks,
entry chimes are off. Exit chimes are off.
When we do these talks, and in fact, on all the conference calls, at some point or another, their frequency is on the line, and many of the people can experience it. And once you tune into their frequency, it's something that, by repetition, you can add them to your life and know that they can be with you energetically. And that may not happen for a while, but if you keep coming into the calls and pay attention to the energies on the call, there's kind of this factor of osmosis where it rubs off and you start to internalize it. So, Terry, how did you come to decide that they were who they said they were?
Well, it was over a matter of years. At first, when we were first working together on the book, I was picking up Ra, and I was actually bringing through Ra. He was making suggestions on how to make the book better, and the energy was connecting with the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And then when Daphne started channeling the Elohim, it's a different energy. It's very high, very loving energy. It's not as masculine energy as Ra. And I was very reluctant. Like when I'd say, okay, well, let's go and do some channeling, and I'd say, oh no, let's not. But I was really concerned about, who were they, and can they be trusted, and there was this relationship that built up over the matter of about 3 years. And so I came to really sense their energy and know how to tune into them. It's smoky over here from the fires.
There's fires in L.A. Terry is in L.A. and she read the news. The canyons, La Cañada, Pasadena, the hills above them are just one of the, is this one of the largest fires ever?
Well, as of a couple of days ago, it was in the top 20, but every night it doubles in acreage. So last night it doubled to about 80, over 80 square acres. Square acres.
No, it's got to be more than 80 square acres. 80 square miles, I would think.
Oh, it's a 20-mile fire front.
Yeah, 80 square acres is not 20 miles. So, but in any case, I was going to do a little talk about how to change your destiny, because what's most important about all of this stuff is making it workable on a human level for yourself. And the fact that we're talking, communicating with sources that perhaps many would think are very exalted. I would have thought that. I would have been intimidated. In having these ongoing conversations, communications, I really got to understand a lot of subtleties about the way that realms interact, and that it's you're not meant to give up your own self because you are connecting with these higher energies. In fact, the way they say it is each of us is an unfolding, growing entity that we're here to get our experience and unfold and expand, and they're there to help us, not to take away our own expression, not to take away our own flow. In fact, sometimes people, when they come on the line, they hear that we're communicating with Elohim, they think that, oh God, my life will get totally in order. Everything will change. I even thought that, and it didn't happen, because I realized that my life was my creation, and another source can't come in and recreate you. They can help you. They can assist you. They can work with you, but they can't take away you. And if you become subservient to energy or intelligence, then there's a good chance you may not be connecting to a really high source, because they don't create subservience. They don't create obligation, and they honor free will. So a really good way to look at it is learning how to become friends with a very wise, intelligent, invisible energy, an energy that you can connect with. But the problem in this realm is that almost in all circumstances, when we experience a connection with an energy, it's because the energy has a physical representation, like a beautiful tree, or a sunset, or a beautiful woman, or a friend, or your child. We're always all connecting with energies all the time, and now we're introducing the idea of connecting with an energy that is just as real as you and me and everyone that's physicalized, but it's an energy that's not physicalized. And I'm saying it's the Elohim, but we're really talking about two energies. But in fact, since everything is one, and since we have come to be in communication with both of these sources, these two energies are actually acting in cooperation in some state of oneness, which, don't ask me to explain this because I can't understand it, but they say it's true, and I sense that it's true. So we have these two group souls working with us and you. They're available on this line. And as we go through this call, some of you will feel those energies. And one group soul is the Ra group, which is made up of graduates of this realm. And the other group soul is the Elohim group, which is made up of energies, conglomerates of energies that never had physical bodies. And that, as far as I know, in most of them, have been pure energy ever since the beginning of creation. So it's a very unusual thing to be connecting with that, being able to ask them questions publicly, and it's unusual for you guys to have the opportunity to listen in and hear these answers. And for someone that's a spiritual seeker, it's going around the world looking for things and looking for connection, finding this, if I'm correct, would be like hitting a grand slam. And so I hope that you give it the right attention so that you can internalize it and get the maximum out of it, because you can go through many, 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 many lifetimes in this realm and never get exposed to this
level of connection with other realms. So I was going to talk about how to change your destiny. And just by being on this call, I would say, is a big step in anyone's path in changing their destiny. Lastly, I talked about the patterns that every one of us has that have come through many, many lifetimes and that impact us on our unconscious and create circumstances that we don't understand why that circumstance keeps repeating itself. And oftentimes, you can explain it to yourself and become a victim, because no matter what you do, something happens. Sometimes we can see this very easily in relationships, where someone goes into a relationship with someone, and it doesn't work, and there's a certain energetic in that relationship that seems impossible to break through. And then they leave that relationship, and they start another relationship, and they go into the same pattern, and three or four relationships later, they can't understand why every relationship has this kind of pattern. It's because you are creating the relationship. Your subconscious has one of those patterns. And I said last week that one of the first steps of breaking through these old patterns is observation, watching yourself, looking at what the repetitive patterns are that keep coming up, that seems so difficult to break out of. And once you start to identify that, you can say, that must be one of those old patterns that Wynn was talking about. And once you can start to observe it, you have a very big step in correcting it. And I know I did this with myself. There was a period of my life where I was constantly, I didn't fit in. I felt rejected. I felt nobody liked me, no matter what I did. And I was lucky enough to have a past life reading years ago. And I learned in that reading that my father in this life had actually killed me in that other lifetime. And when the way it was explained to me was, because he had killed me, he owed me a life. So I had the option to collect and be incarnated into his family this lifetime. And so when I showed up, he was not happy to see me because he thought he got rid of me 1,000 years ago. Now, keep in mind, this is all on a very unconscious level. And he doesn't know what's going on, and I don't know what's going on. And yet the pattern plays out where all through my childhood, I felt like I didn't belong. I didn't deserve to be there. I was not good enough. All those kinds of thoughts were really heavily planted in me. And when it was probably 10 years after I left Philadelphia, left my home, that I had this reading, and I was sure that it was correct. Sometimes I tell the story, I should tell a little bit. The person that gave me the reading told me I was a troubadour in another 1,000 years ago, and I used to go town to town, and he told me all the details, and then it led up to the fact that my father owned an inn, and I humiliated him, and he poisoned me. And the interesting thing that convinced me that the reading had to be true, And in fact, this was the thing that actually convinced me that reincarnation had to be real, was that at the time I was writing songs. And years before this guy did this reading for me, I wrote a song that I thought was from my imagination about a troubadour in England who I told the same story in the song that this guy told me, very, very specifically. And it could not have been random. And so at that point, I knew that reincarnation was real. I knew that my father had killed me. And I'm telling the story now because even after I knew all this, I couldn't stop the pattern. I still would walk around. It took me years to get over feeling no good, unworthy, defensive around people. And I'm sure I still have residuals of that pattern in me somewhere. But to a great extent, I overcame it. And the way I overcame it was when I knew that I had planted that pattern in me, when somebody reacted to the pattern and it would look like they didn't like me, I would go over in my mind and say to myself, it's not that they're really not liking me. I'm putting out this thought and they're picking it up and they're responding to my thought. And I kept doing that. And after a while, just observing myself and taking responsibility for the way others were reacting to me, instead of blaming them or becoming a victim, just taking the responsibility, started to let that pattern dissipate. That's why I say when you can observe your own pattern, you can stop becoming a victim. And no matter what somebody does to you, there's a part of you that's creating the opportunity for them to do it. And by observing it, you can start to uncreate that aspect. And so this is one way to change your destiny, because most people don't do that. They live within their own patterns, and in fact, the pattern actually feels like, that's who I am. And you don't think it can shift. You've lived with it all your life, and it's like who you feel like who you are, and until you realize that's not who you are, that is an imposed reality that has been created and implanted in your unconscious through your past lives and your upbringing in this life, that you realize you have the power to start moving it. Now, that's what we talked about last week. This week, I wanted to add another thing that is a very important step in changing your destiny. And changing your destiny is has ramifications that are far bigger than just changing your destiny. Because when you change yourself in truth, when you actually shift something, you also shift everyone around you. You cannot help but change everyone. And if they don't change, they go away because you're not putting out the old pattern anymore. So when you don't do that, they have to start reacting to you differently. And they will track energetically your shift, and they will shift. But you can't do this by talking, by negotiation. You have to do it by actually shifting pattern. Well, another aspect of changing your destiny is vision. You know, we've all had moments where we have seen ourselves being more than we thought we were, where something happened that we touched somebody. We felt loved. We created something. And go back in your life and look at those moments and look at what it took to make that happen, because you can duplicate it. And you can't duplicate it unless you put your finger on it. And you can start seeing yourself as more than you are and say, what would it take for me to live in the reality of being more than I am? And how do I get there? And that's where vision comes in. So on one hand, you're clearing old patterns, and on the other hand, you're creating a vision of how things could be in the future. Now, I could tell you right now, while I'm talking to everybody on this phone, it's like I created a vision. Oh, I guess when these guys started talking to me, I created a number of visions that I made happen. But I really didn't, if I really looked at it rationally, I wouldn't have believed that I could have done it. I mean, the first thing was when I discovered David Wilcock's website and started studying his channeling, and I came to the conclusion how important they were and how important it could be for other people to share this wisdom and this connection with the rock group, I created the vision that I could write a book. And I had never written a book. In fact, my specialty was poems and songs and short articles, and usually off the top of my head. But I was so convinced that it was going to be important that I decided to write a book. And I spent probably 3 to 4 years working on this project. And I didn't know I could ever get it published. I didn't know that anyone would like it. And all through it, David Wilcock was probably the worst inertia of all, because he was not very anxious to have a book like this come out into the world. He was not anxious to be known as Edgar Cayce. He was... And it's understandable. It's understandable why he felt this way. Because here is Edgar Cayce, the most famous, credible prophet in the history of the world, influenced millions of people. And here's this young fellow, David Wilcock, who is not feeling very together, is working with his own obstacles, and this Winfrey is calling him and telling him, hey, we got to do this book. This is going to be important. And there was a huge responsibility in him letting himself be known as Edgar Cayce. And in fact, right now, if anyone tracks David, very rarely does he refer to it. And very rarely, or not so often, does he refer to his channelings, because he's... I'm saying this from my side. I believe it's true. It's people, when you channel and when you've been as famous as Edgar Cayce, the expectation level of other people that you're going to give them the truth is overwhelming. And when you are in the middle of that expectation level, you can't even do good channeling because you can have this tendency to want to please people, and it screws it all up. But in any case, I created the vision to write the book, and I did it. I created the vision to talk about this to people, which initially was scary. Initially it was, I don't want to be on a pedestal. I don't want to be the guy that everyone thinks knows all the answers. I don't want to have that expectation from others. But how can I put this out without creating that expectation? I didn't know how. And I stepped very carefully, step by step, knowing that I was just as human as you guys, and that if I couldn't stand in the middle of my own humanness, then I wouldn't do a good job. I would fail. So, speaking of humans, it's 6:42. We have about 8 minutes, and I thought maybe we would bring in the light. The light's already here. That's my formal way of bringing it together. And have our source maybe make a few comments on what we're talking about, which is how to change your destiny. And next week, you know, we've talked about observation, we've talked about vision, and next week we're going to talk about how can connecting with higher sources help you change your destiny. And so I call in the light, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light, surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of life and transmuted to the highest good. And right now, we tune ourselves into that energy. And you can shut your eyes and that feel. Tune yourself into that energy. It's radiating the center of our thoughts, through our body. And we'll make the intention that we can meet each other in our high self. We can create a touching of our energies in other realms. And we can invite our sources, the two group souls we can work with, to touch in with them. And they can actually look at each other. They say they can, I can prove it. Say they can, and there's enough evidence that I've watched over the last few years to think that it's probably true, and let them address us for a moment. And I say, we're talking about the subject, how to change your destiny, but I won't limit them if they have something they want to say outside of that. I certainly accept that, honor that. We have about 7 minutes, so I'll turn it over to Ra'an, speaking through Terry.
Thank you. Could you, for a minute, call in the mic?
Call it in again?
Is it transmuting of negative energy in the higher?
Okay, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken and lifted to the higher realm of the transmute. Right now, we create an integration of energies between those of us on this line. This is free will, so if you're checking it out for the first time, you can just listen and not connect energies to choose. And our higher sources. And we do all this under the auspices of the law of one, the Christ of energies, and service to others. And we create a space that only positive service to other sources can be present.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our pleasure to be with you this Monday, the 31st of August, 2009. Sometimes when we look at time and pinpoint time, it is hard, as time really is where one focuses. We have listened to our host,
Winfrey, and we have these comments. When one considers one's destiny, we never consider a pattern as being one's destiny. We always consider one's destiny as being the unique, true, beautiful individual that one is. That one is a part of God no matter how many years or lifetimes one carries a pattern. It will never work out in reality as being a truth because it is at a divergence with one's true self. So when one has a pattern, it is always at a divergence with one's true self, and it never totally works out for them. One of the greatest areas which Wim has mentioned where one can run into a problem is in considering one's own worth and acceptability with his fellow beings. If one considers oneself as not being worthwhile, it is a gross untruth, and therefore it will never work out, no matter how anyone tries to convince anyone or how the individual tries to convince himself that he is not a worthwhile person. They may end up acting out, and that is out of the divergence between his natural self and how he is trying to portray himself. It is very hard to see for an individual that this is a pattern. It may appear to the individual as being a reality, and this is the way things are, and this is the way people treat him, and how come they treat him this way, and he, she does not see that it is something that he, she is putting forth, and therefore in putting forth, he, she is then creating his, her life around that idea. And one of the basic ideas that can really bow a person up is the idea that they aren't acceptable, that they aren't worthwhile. And other individuals may try to convince them of that for their own purposes, to try to catapult their own worth higher than another. And by doing that, they feel that they are more worthwhile. But usually at the base of this, there is a gross inadequacy, a feeling of inadequacy, or that they are not worthwhile. While if one could change this basic core belief, just let it flood into you, you are worthwhile, you're beautiful, and don't confuse your worth and your beauty with anything that's happened. You are a beautiful, worthy individual, and the higher forces, the whole universe at the base of it all loves you and accepts you. That is perhaps the prime lesson that you could learn, that if you could shift that belief that others have laid out for you and you've been implanted in the past and you've implanted yourself, that you are not worthwhile. If you can change this, then everything will begin to straighten out and you will begin to project a worthwhile and accept acceptance of yourself and acceptance with others, and they will begin to include you and accept you, and it cannot be other than so. Adonai.
Thank you so much. We went over about 2 minutes. Notice they correct me, and that's okay. Thank you all for being here. On Wednesday, we have a conference call line where people submit questions, and they answer the question. So you can submit a